107 seconds from now, someone will be sexually assaulted in the U.S., and then 107 seconds after that, and then 107 seconds later. That's all according to federal data analyzed by the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. And that statistic shocked Atlanta artist Jessica Caldas. So this past April, she took to the city streets with a piece of chalk and an important message. She marked the ground with an X every 107 seconds to represent those affected by sexual violence. I met with Jessica Caldas in April on the Atlanta Beltline near Krog Street Market, and I asked about her art and how this project has helped her deal with her own past as a victim of sexual abuse.
A huge part of my work is talking about things that are stigmatized in really casual ways, because my belief is that the conversation around them, having those conversations, is sort of what creates opportunity for change. People don't understand things like sexual assault or domestic violence very well because they're things that people don't talk about regularly. So my belief there kind of helped me get to a point where I did feel comfortable talking about my own rape in a public way. And it all kind of came to a head this spring with the rape kit bill that was being held up in the Senate. So
that's the bill in which they were trying to go ahead. Just so our listeners know, her watch is going to go off every 107 seconds and she's going to make an X. So this is the bill that would have tried to get through the backlog of rape kits that are sitting stored in various police departments.
I actually lobbied with the Georgia Women's Policy Institute to help get it voted on before, on sign day, and it got passed at like midnight.
And it's too bad that this isn't TV, because people would see that you're beaming.
It was incredible.
Which is the part that's making you so happy? Is it the fact that these rape kits, I mean, it has to be more than just that they're going to get tested.
And it doesn't mean that every kit's going to get tested. What the bill does is it just provides procedure and a way to count and kind of make accountable the whole process. I think what makes me so happy is that I took this, what felt like a big chance for myself to like share my story in a really public way, for something I believed in, but that I was very nervous about, and it kind of paid off. I've never felt so strong in my ability to actually change things. So I got to participate in policy and the legislative process, and I got to share this story and talk about it in a super public way, and people were very supportive and very excited, and all of that is just like, it just kind of, it's hard not to feel really good about it. So
do you think what you're doing now, and we have how many marks so far since you've been in? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 marks just since you've been standing here.
Yeah.
Do you consider this to be performance art?
It is a kind of performative work, yeah. It's also, I call it social practice, because where I really hope the art happens is in the conversation. So far, no one's really stopped to talk to us, and that happens. But
people do stop and talk and ask you why you're making a mark.
Yes, but even if they don't talk, yes, there is a performative aspect to it. Honestly, the basic goal of the project is to honor all of these victims. I mean, to me, 107 seconds is dismal. It's a dismal number to hear, especially in a place like the United States, and we kind of pride ourselves on being so progressive or so great. But I know the truth is that we have a lot of work to do and a lot of the issues that I care about. So
I mean, the U.S. even at a federal level has been talking about and trying to address sexual assault for decades. Mm-hmm. And yet here we are still talking about a pervasive rape culture. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you believe we do have a rape culture and why it persists.
I do believe that there is a rape culture that persists in the U.S. I think that it's changed more in the past few years than I've seen. I've also just been paying attention a lot more probably in the past few years than I did before. But, you know, the White House, and there are politicians making really clear public effort to fight sexual assault. I think the ability for people to share stories in really public ways, social media is a huge, powerful tool for this. And I think people are just like,
well, I got, you know, just to push back a little bit, yeah. Social media, some people say, is actually perpetuating and strengthening rape culture, that because of all the cyberbullying, because of those private forums on 4chan and other places.
That's so what I think what happens is if there's like sort of private spaces where people can then reinforce each other's beliefs and ideas about what rape is or what consent is or what is you know, sexual about a woman or not, then yes, that's going to reinforce that culture. But also then what you have is people speaking out more broadly and publicly about these things and about the how wrong those things are. So when somebody gets cyberbullied, there's actually a really incredible organization that's been created in the past year called Heart Mob. And it's basically an organization that's fighting to correct cyberbullying and to protect the people that speak out on these issues and to provide ways to protect yourself when you do speak out online and to kind of like to deal with that issue. And I think that's a huge deal. Like, I don't know that something like that would have existed 5 years ago. So I'm pretty excited about things like that. And I think any space is going to have people that are not good and that... And I think, ultimately, you're going to deal with that in almost any space, whether you're online or you're in public, if you're in a city or if you're in the country or wherever, it's going to happen. So it's just knowing how to talk to people and being unafraid, I think, to engage and to be wrong or to be challenged. I mean, I get challenged a lot with the work I do. But I'm never quite afraid of it. I kind of always expect it, and therefore I get to have these great conversations with people. And being willing to talk to people, to provide an opportunity for education or awareness that maybe they wouldn't have experienced is like, that's my bread and butter. I love it.
What's the most common question you get when people stop? I mean, other than what are you doing, which I assume is the first question.
Yes.
But what's the most common question after that?
People want to know a lot about statistics around reporting and prosecution, which are pretty dismal.
So. And yet there's a persistent myth that a large number of rapes are just women who regret having sex.
Right. That's a part of the rape culture that exists in our society, the lack of understanding of the nuances of consent. And, you know, I think some people would consider a lot of experiences I hear as being just like nights that somebody made a drunken mistake, but that's not reality. But that's a kind of an education thing. I'm a big believer in education as like another avenue for change. I think that sex education is really important, and not just talking about sex, but talking about consent and boundaries and healthy relationships, because I think all of that ties into our understanding of how we treat each other and how we express and understand empathy, and thus essentially how we eventually get to consent and understanding like how to treat each other in sexual ways as well.
That's Atlanta artist Jessica Caldas. She spoke with me on the Beltline earlier this year. You can see pictures of Jessica's month-long campaign at gpbnews.org.